So let us turn, let's pray, bow down our heads and hearts and ask God's blessing. Gracious and merciful God, we are thankful this morning you have gathered us together on the day you have appointed to worship you. Lord, we are now here in your presence to hear you speak from heaven to us, and we want to receive the rain of your word which never return in vain. Our hearts are prepared to learn and love your word. Lord, your law is our counselor, and I pray that we will be ruled by it this morning. Lord, it is our physician, and I pray that we will be healed by it this morning. And as your scriptures say, it is our schoolmaster, and we will be obedient to it, not only today, but throughout the week, months, year, and throughout our life. And Lord, I am to preach your unchanging and life-changing word. Lord, help me to offer the gospel call to the people gathered here and everyone who's listening this message this morning. I would ask you to turn to Matthew's gospel, very familiar passage to everybody, even children. I do remember I have learned many, many times, and you also. Matthew chapter 13, and we will be focusing on first nine verses. And you know, this is a chapter of parables of kingdoms. Parables of kingdom. Please pray, pay close attention to God's holy and inerrant word. Here is God's word. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and a large crowd gathered to him, so he got into boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Other fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorn came up and shook them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some of hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Matthew chapter 13 is a theologically and practically and missiologically very rich chapter. And here Jesus gives seven parables to describe the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, though Matthew doesn't use the word kingdom of God, but the phrase kingdom of God, but kingdom of heaven, they are same. Some distinguish, but they are same. In these parables of kingdom, two aspects of kingdom of God are prominent. The first one is the kingdom of heaven is a mixture of good and bad. It includes false believers as well as genuine believers, false doctrine as well as true doctrines, hypocritical worship as well as genuine worship. That is the one first aspect. The second aspect is, being Jesus' followers, we must work laboriously, work very hard, seeking and helping men to enter into the kingdom of God. That is, that whole through the chapter and even other places. Because we haven't received the mysteries of God in the person of Jesus Christ, we are responsible for teaching the gospel of kingdom. Remember, there are many, many, as I mentioned in our presentation this morning, there are many people. How many people? Millions of people in Pakistan and around the Muslim world and around here. I mean, even here, they have never heard the gospel. Because we have received, I do remember, I received, some missionary came to us, even Korean missionary, American missionary, a German missionary who translated the Urdu Bible. We are thankful for that. Because we have received great mercies and mysteries of God in person of Jesus Christ, so we are responsible to share God's word. The parable of sower is one of the most well-known among the parables. And it is designed to teach the truth of the gospel will come to us in every kind of person, but only those who have spiritual ears, eyes, and heart will respond to it or will produce a fruit. And Jesus explains the parable in verses 18 and 23. I won't go through that, but my focus is on not on the different kinds of soils, but my focus would be on the one who sowed. So I just came back from a mission trip. I've seen how God, our great God, is working. I want to encourage you in that. I believe there are some contrasts that can be drawn between the sower in this parable and between those who take the message of the gospel into the field of their world. As we have read this text, I believe that there is an encouragement and a challenge and a help for all of us to be sower of the gospel of seed, a gospel seed. Let us take a few minutes today to look at this parable, this text, which is the title I have given, Sowing the Gospel Seed. And this morning I have three points this morning. The first point would be based on verse 3, the sower's mission in the seed. The sower's mission for the seed. The sower's mission for the seed. And based on verses 4 and 8, 4 through 8, the sower's method of sowing. And based on verses 4 and 9 through 9, the sower's measure of success. Let us read verse 3 again. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. The first thing, the sower did go forth. He did go forth. What was the intention of the sower when he went out? What was his first desire? The sower has only one desire. He entered his field. He had only, I've seen my dad doing that. I grew up on a farm. That's why I like Kansas. As I mentioned, it is not as fertile as in Punjab or Pakistan, but I've seen my dad going out to sow in a sowing season. He went forth. What he wants? He wants to plant his crops so that he can reap a harvest at a proper season. This is the harvest season in Pakistan right now. And the kingdom of God comes when the soil and the seed get together. When they get together. Indeed, it is a message. It is a marriage of soil and seed. The seed is the word of God proclaimed by people of God. And the kingdom begins to come in a life when the soil receives the seed of the word of God. Then it begins to germinate and shoot. I have just planted, I don't know how many of you do some gardening, but I have just planted last week some of the seed. From my own country, bitter gourd. You don't know what is that, but I have just planted. I see they are already shooting up. They're growing. I would just remind us this morning that God did not give us the gospel seed just to save it, just keep with us. And I do remember last year we grew our own seed. I keep every year seed, and next year I plant. Last year I gave to my wife, and she just saved. I don't know where did she save. She saved, and we were not able to find it. And that's why last year we did not have a bitter gourd. I planted some other seeds, but bought from a store, but I was not able. God did not give us this seed of the word to save us, save for us, or hold it, keep it to ourselves and brag about the blessing we have. Look how much seed we have. Our barns are full. That's right? Yeah. Think about this Bible. This morning I read from a New American Standard Version. What version of Bible do you have? So many versions. We have only one version in Pakistan. It is such a blessing for us. It is not given to us to hold it, to save it, or brag about it. Look, how many versions of Bible we have, how many translations, how many great books. Wonderful. I love it. I hope and I wish that all of these great theology and all the books would be translated into Urdu. I'm trying. Recently finished a translation of our Westminster Standards. First time in the history. It's great. God gave us all that seed of the gospel to share with others. He did not give us the seed so that we might allow it to rot in our barns. Like the prophet Haggai. He said, is the seed still in the barn? Is that the case? God's mandate to his people is that we take the seed of the gospel into the field of the world and sow it for his glory. Sow it for his glory. I don't know, maybe I have getting some eye issue these days. I have recently, just pray for me. I'm diagnosed with sleep apnea, and it's affecting my eyes as well. I have to put lots of eye drops. Daytime is drying and watery and running just constantly, feeling a little hard, maybe because of brightness as well. But just pray for me. Pray for me continually. God's mandate to his people is that we take the seed of the gospel into the field of the world for his glory. We are promised to share the gospel in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power then when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And I've seen that it's growing. We have a church in India, we have in Pakistan, in very hard, in China, and other parts of the world, in Judea and Samaria, and all even the remotest parts of the world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, even Christ, the heavenly sower, went forth to see. What that farmer did in the parable, he went out to do that. And Christ even went out to sow. He left his home of security and peace. He left the glory of his father he had enjoyed with him from eternity. He left the glory with God. He left the position upon the throne of the universe. And he went forth to suffer. Tempted by men, went forth to in solitude to sow in tears and water that seed of the gospel with his blood, the seed of life for the lost world. Not only us, not only American missionary or Western missionary or us, or in Pakistan, your aunt, even our Christ gave us the supreme example. He did. He went out to sow the seed. His people in like manner must go forth to sow. We are called to become a sower of the seed of the gospel. Is there a burden upon your heart to get the gospel into the field of the world? I meet with the young people, like I was meeting with Seth from our church. There are many people coming from Afghanistan right here. So you don't have to go there. The mission field is in your backyard right now. If there is that burden, then please honor it and go and sow the seed of the gospel. We saw the mission of the sower was only to go and sow the seed. The sower has only one desire as he enters his field, to get the seed into the soil. And that leads to our second point, the sower's method of sowing. How we are going to do? As we read these verses, you see the sower cast his seed into the field. I've seen my dad, and even I did myself last week in a small, tiny garden. In our text, where does the sower cast the seed? In the field, of course. He casts the seed not to a specific part of the seed or portion. He casts the seed everywhere. He does not sow the seed in the best or favorite parts of his field, but he wants to have a big harvest, so he casts the seed everywhere. Such should be our method. Sowing the seed everywhere, every corner. In this regard, the commandments of Jesus Christ in Great Commissions are clear in four ways, showing us the method of sowing. If we read Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, the Great Commission, he said, "Go, therefore." We are to go out. Where are we going? Where are we to go? Into all the world. No place is off limit. Even the hardest parts of the world, I know, we have to be careful. We are in Afghanistan, situation is not very, very good right now. But praise God, I do remember when I was in South Korea in a seminary, the first time I met a Afghani young man, Christian young man. I was teaching in a seminary, and I saw him. Even there are believers. There are people are reaching out there. So there is no place off limit. No people group is off limit. We are to go everywhere and tell everybody. First of all, we are to go. Secondly, we are to tell. We are to tell. Mark 16:15 says, preach. Or Matthew say, teach. What are we to teach or tell or teach to the world? Are we to brag about or boast about our church, our standards, or our preachers? We have a great preacher, we have a great standards. No way. We are to tell the lost and dying world about Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for sinners. What he has done for sinners. And then what he has done for us. We are to go into the world and we are to share the gospel of Christ. But what is the gospel message? What is the gospel message? We are to tell them what Jesus had done for me, for our sinners. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3 and 4 says, "For I have handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That is the gospel summary. That's what we are to share with them. And then we are to tell them what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has personally done for us. We have to share the gospel. Jesus was died, buried, and raised again. And then what he has done for us, for me. Again, look at Paul's own testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 15. he shared his own testimony, what Jesus did for him. He says that, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. You see, he's sharing his own testimony, what Jesus has done. I believe every Christian has own testimony. Look at the order here. First we shared the gospel. We can share our testimony, but I think sometimes our testimony is not the gospel. It is the result of the gospel, and we can share that as well. Thirdly, we are to go. We are to tell. Not only that, but we are to tell everybody. We are to tell everybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to make sure that everyone in our circles of our lives hear the gospel from our lips. It doesn't matter who they are, what they do for a living, where they live, and what color their skin is. If they are living, breathing human being, then they need to hear the gospel, and it is our duty to share with them. Some folks never witness because they are waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell them and encourage them to go out, to move them, or to tell them to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he already has done. When he said go, he was talking to you. He was talking to me just to go. We are to go, and we are to tell, and we are to tell everybody. And fourthly, we are to be involved, we all. It is not the duty of preachers or elders or deacons. We all are to be involved in going and telling. Matthew 28:90 says, he said to them, not he said to him or Peter or just one of the disciples, but he said to them, all of the disciples. The gospel message is that can be shared by children, adults, and anyone between that. Anybody can share. And I have seen that, little children doing that. It isn't just for preachers, as I mentioned, evangelists or missionaries like me, who goes on mission trips every year, twice a year. But it is a command for all of God's children. If you have been saved, I believe so, then you have a message to share. Remember, a sheep produces sheep. And this time my children were very excited. At the same time, they said, there are so many sheep in the street, everywhere. Like in India, there are many cows, but in Pakistan, there are more sheep and goats there. Just remember, sheep produces sheep. And I believe that the amount of seed we sow in the field will directly correspond to the amount of harvest we'll see. As I said last year, I didn't have any seed for bitter gourd. We didn't get any bitter gourd. If we seed sow more, obviously, I'm not talking about pragmatism. Sometimes it's not the way to do that, but it is important to do the work. Do you want to grow your church? Obviously, we want to fill all the seats, and we want to be involved in God's kingdom. Then please go and sow. Do you want to see people saved? Then go and sow. Do you want to be involved in your Father's kingdom work? Then sow the gospel seed everywhere in all kinds of soil. And God will give the increase. God will give the increase. Our third point is, we have seen the sower's mission and his message and the sower's measure of successful. When you look at the parable, do you think the sower was very successful? I don't think so. But he was successful on the other hand. We will see. As we read this parable, it becomes very clear that this sower lost some of his seed. He lost some of his seed. Some of it fell on a soil that had been unprepared, and that seed produced no fruit. Since that is true, was the sower a failure? Since all the seed didn't produce any fruit? No, I don't think so. He was successful because he sowed all his seed. That's what he was given for. That's what he was commanded for. Because he fulfilled his mandate. He was successful. His mandate or mission was to sow the seed, and that is what he did. He had no control over the soil, and he had no control over the amount of the fruit each plant will produce. And the same thing is with us. Just go and sow. He was successful because of two significant truths. He sowed all his seed, what God gave him. And secondly, he sowed all his field. Everywhere. He went everywhere and he did. He didn't leave any corner. As a sower of the gospel seed, you and I are not responsible for the kind of soil our seed falls upon. Obviously, in mission, we need to be very diligent and careful, but we are not responsible for that. We are to just sow everywhere. We cannot even judge the condition of the soil because we cannot see into the hearts of people, different people. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Three of the four soils in the parable looked good on the surface. They looked good on the surface. Wayside soil, and then stony soil, and thorny soil. The only difference between these types of soil were fruit. Sure, we may cast our seed into soil that is unprepared, but we are to cast the seed and leave the harvest in God's hand. So we have done our work. Now we wait for God and pray that He will produce the fruit. What if we never lead a soul to Jesus personally? There's no problem. I really think some people are sore, some are watering, and some water, and some harvest. I've seen personally in my own life. The guy who contacted me, a Muslim guy, somebody introduced the gospel to him already. And he contacted me, I am like just watering, and I introduced somebody else. He might be harvesting that fruit. So from time to time, we may get to sow, water, and harvest. At other times, only one of the three. Our duty, dear brothers and sisters, is not to worry over the results or fruit. Our duty is to get out into the field and sow. God never called you to be a soul winner, but has called you to sow the gospel seed. What practical implications can we draw out from today's study? I think we can draw out a couple of them. First implication would be, always be ready to sow the seed of gospel. Always be ready. Remember that there will never be a harvest unless the seed is actually sown into the ground. The farmer can have the most fertile soil, the best seeds, and the best intentions. But if he never get the seed into the soil or field, no crop will ever be produced. So always be ready to sow the seed. Second implication we can see here is know that the Satan is working against you. Satan is working against you. I had a group to share the gospel in the Karachi city a couple of years back. And many members among that group, just later on, they were hitting me. But one of them came out from that, and now he's elder in our mission church right there. So just remember that Satan is working against you. The sword probably knew that there will be many obstacles that were against the seed. Birds would be there, hostile conditions, scorching sun, thorns, and so on. He knew that, all of them. If we have ever done any sort of planting, as I said, gardening at least, and we know. I just came back from Pakistan, and when I came back after a month, my whole garden was covered by weeds. Whole garden was covered by weeds. Satan will do anything and everything he can keep the word of God being firmly planted, established, and growing. And he's busy, very busy doing that. But our job is not to worry about Satan's schemes, but obey Lord of the harvest. The third implications is that different people are going to respond to the gospel in different ways. Different people will respond in different ways. As I mentioned 2 years ago, I preached a sermon on the greatness of God's grace from Ezekiel 16 in Karachi, mega city in Karachi. And a group of people heard it, but only one person responded. Only one person responded, Daud. And he is our ruling elder now there. Now that one seed has produced much fruit. Now we have more 35 people now there in that church. We have two elders there and one deacon there. Now that one seed has produced much fruit. The first man who contacted me from Karachi City, he's not even talking to me right now. So different people respond differently. Just remember, different people are going to respond to the gospel in different ways. And fourth implication, be patient and do not lose hope. Be patient and do not lose hope. The sower's success in the grand scheme wasn't that great, we have seen in that parable. The fact of the matter is that in terms of sowing seed, he was not very successful. So do not lose heart or hope, dear brothers and sisters. And let us conclude with our Lord's word in John chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for the harvest. Look around you. How many people I see in my own street. I see many people proclaim they are Christians, but they don't go to, we invite them, and they promise many times they don't go to church. They say they have a Christmas light on Christmas time. Probably they never have worshipped Jesus. They want to celebrate his birthday, but they never go to church. There's a great harvest. I urge you, I encourage you to go forth and share the gospel. Let us pray. Dear gracious Lord, and you are the Lord of the harvest. Lord, our pockets overflows with redemptive seed of the gospel. Lord, bless us with courage and spirit as your people. help us to become Christ-like servant and a sower. Open doors for us that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, which you have, Lord, given us. Enable us to speak your word to our neighbors and non-believers with great boldness. And when we go to sow, give people a noble and prepared heart and good heart that look like that is like a good soil. Lord, bless our lives, this church, that may be a good witness in this area and in the state of Kansas and around the world. In Christ's merciful name I ask. Amen.